If you have your Bible with you, open it to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Before I read, I've been on the road a lot the last week. Last Sunday, I was at Central Presbyterian Church in Merced, California. Merced is kind of smack in the middle of California, in the middle of the Central Valley. And I had the privilege of preaching for the installation of David Goebel. Many of you know David either from his time in Burley or at Boone Church in Caldwell or Reflections Church in Meridian. And David was installed as the pastor of Central Presbyterian Church in Merced, and it was a wonderful celebration, and it was a gift to be a part of that. And then I flew back here, and then that was on Monday, and then on Thursday it was back down to Southern California for the meeting of the Presbytery of the Pacific of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. We met in Orange, California. You could throw a rock from there and hit Disneyland. It was about 75 degrees outside, and all I saw was the inside of meeting rooms. So I want to go back and play. Being at the Presbytery was a wonderful gift and a time of encouragement to me, and I want you to experience this too. And moving into the future, we're going to find more ways to do it particularly with our nearby EPC congregations. It is wonderful to be a part of a connectional church, that we have bonds of love and fellowship beyond this congregation, that we do mission together, we can have fellowship together. There are 5 EPC congregations here in Southwest Idaho, and plans are percolating for things that we can do together, whether some combined worship and some local mission projects that we can do together. But just keep that in mind. Anyway, all this travel over the last few days has me thinking about pathways. And the Bible talks a lot about paths and being on either a good path or a bad one. A path that either leads to life and blessing and peace, or to be on paths of evil that lead in a very different direction, to frustration and pain and death. The first psalm calls that to mind. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the wicked. 23rd Psalm calls that to mind. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The book of Proverbs, where I'm going to read a familiar verse in just a moment, maybe one of the most familiar verses of the Old Testament. The book of Proverbs speaks of the path that leads to life, the path that leads to God. Proverbs 2:13 warns against those who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Proverbs 2:15 speaks of those whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. You think about for a moment what makes a crooked path. An impulsive life, a life that is lived simply according to whatever internal impulses come to you, are going to lead you on a zigzagging path, won't they? Now, here's the verse that is our text this morning. Very familiar, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. As opposed to that crooked path, he'll make your path straight. Let me pray and then we'll go on. Let's bow together. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, how do you walk a straight path in life? Well, that's what this verse is all about. First of all, trust in the Lord. And you probably already know that when the Bible, when you're reading the Old Testament and you see the name Lord all in capitals, in fact, in this verse, I think, am I right? If you have your Bible open, is Lord all in caps? Yes, good. That's English translation code, which means that, and we are following the English translators ever since the time of King James, decided to follow the Jewish tradition that the name of God that was spoken by God at the burning bush to Moses, I am that I am, is not to be spoken aloud. It's so holy that you don't speak it aloud. And so the Jews started the tradition centuries and centuries ago that when they got to that name of God in the Hebrew text when they were reading aloud, they would not say that name aloud. They would instead say Adonai, which is Lord. And the English translators have followed that tradition. So whenever you see Lord in all caps in the Old Testament, behind that is the name of God that was spoken to Moses at the burning bush. Biblical faith is not just about serving any old generic God, but the Lord who revealed himself to his people, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God who made covenant with his people, the God who heard the cries of his people when they were slaves in Egypt and liberated them, led them out of Egypt, and revealed his law to them, the God who said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Why? Because all pretenders to that position are fakes and idols. You can shoot them right between the eyes and nothing but sawdust comes out. So when Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us trust in the Lord, it's not a God of our own making, but the one who's revealed himself in his word and most fully has revealed himself in Jesus, his son. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, we really have to translate that one because as modern Americans, we think when we hear heart, we think feelings. This does not mean trust in the Lord with all your feelings. Because feelings are fickle. They wax and wane. They come and go. In Hebrew thinking, and I'm sure you've heard me say this before, but in Hebrew thinking, the heart is not just the center of the emotions. It's the center of the will. It's where you make decisions. It's where the direction of your life is set. How do you keep a straight path? By having your heart set on Jesus. Heart set on the Lord. When I was a kid, I spent many hours. And I wondered why at the time, and maybe it was just so I could give this illustration. I spent many hours with my rear end on the seat of an international farm all tractor. And I can tell you how you keep a straight row. The International Farm Wall had a gas cap up on the top of the front. Actually, that wasn't the gas cap. It was the radiator cap. And you would line that sucker up like a gun sight on an immovable object in the distance, like a tree. And you'd just keep a straight line. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Your own understanding will get you on a path like this. Do not lean on your own understanding. Your own understanding, we are short-sighted. We are prone to self-deception. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death." It just seems so right. Oh, it just seems so right to me. How could it be wrong? Remember Debbie Boone? And it was a nifty song other than this. Remember "You Light Up My Life"? And there was a line in there, "How can it be wrong when it feels so right?" I can tell you 1,000 ways it can be wrong when it feels right. Lean not on your own understanding. Your own understanding is a rotten fence post. And if you lean on that, be prepared for a fall. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him. All your ways, not some of your ways, not your Sunday morning ways. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will, I said, He will direct your paths. That's the way I first learned that verse. But in the ESV, and it's a good literal translation. He will make straight your path. You'll be living in the way of wisdom. Now, once again, this may be one of the most beloved verses of the Old Testament. And I can't tell you how many times I've quoted this to people who are at a point of confusion in their lives and they're wondering what to do next. And I'll recite this verse for them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your paths. Now, that's a wise word. It's a good word. It's a Bible word. There's one problem with it. Even the guy who wrote it couldn't do it. Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, he's the one that wrote the Proverbs. Even he couldn't do it throughout his lifetime. Remember, Solomon became king after the death of his father, David, and the Bible says God was with him. At his coronation, when he became king, he made an offering to the Lord. And that night, as Solomon was alone in his room, and he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him and said, "What shall I give you?" And Solomon prayed, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge." And God was pleased with that prayer. And God said, "Because this was in your heart, and because you have not asked for possessions or wealth or honor, or you have not asked for the lives of your enemies. Therefore, I'm going to give you wisdom, as you've asked, and knowledge to rule my people." And God did that. Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem, a place of beauty and holiness where God was worshipped. Solomon started out well, but he didn't end well, which Solomon, unfortunately, is an example that temptation comes at every stage of life. We don't grow to a point where we are not in danger of wandering off the path, the straight path that God has made for us. And there are unique temptations that come to every stage of life, aren't there? In addition to building the temple, Solomon undertook the most ambitious building program in Israel's history. He built fortified cities, great stables to keep the horses of his army. Let me qualify that. Solomon didn't build diddly. He conscripted 30,000 of his countrymen, 30,000 Jews, as slaves to build these impressive structures that he decided they really needed. And that really didn't set well with a people who had an ancestral memory of being slaves in Egypt. And worst of all, Solomon made some really poor decisions about his marriages. Actually, about 1,000 bad decisions. There were 700 wives and 300 concubines. Now, somebody once said to me, polygamy is its own punishment. I have no idea what that means. But God had warned his people, don't intermarry with the peoples around you. Because if you do that, you're going to start worshiping their gods and accommodating their ways. And that's what happened to Solomon. To please his foreign wives, he built altars to their pagan gods. And he even participated in that worship. And he even, for one of his wives, built an altar to Molech. Molech was worshipped with human sacrifice, the sacrifice of children. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Even the man who wrote it couldn't do it. And as God's providence would have it, that altar to Molech was built, it says, the text says, on the mountain east of Jerusalem. That's the Mount of Olives. You see, our hope that we have in Christ is not that we're going to get some good advice from the Bible. We're going to get some wise counsel from the Bible. And then we're going to try really, really hard, and we're going to walk that straight path all of our lives. And we never reach a point in our lives, as Solomon demonstrates, when we're immune from sin. And that's why, praise God, the gospel is about our Savior, who a little over 1,000 years after Solomon went to that Mount of Olives, and there was a path before him that led to the cross. And he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And walked that path for us. And because of him, because of his cross, because of his resurrection victory, now we can, by the grace of God, and we're going to wander off that path, we're going to go here and we're going to go there, but because of him, there's always, 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 no matter where you've walked in this life, no matter where you are right now, there's a way back to that path. And it's not far. It's a moment away. The moment you turn to him and say, Lord, I can't walk this by myself. I need you. Forgive me. Lead me in the way that leads to you. That's all you need to. Trust in the Lord Jesus with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Let's bow together for prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You walked the way that we cannot. And because of You and the gift of Your cross and Your resurrection, there is always, always, always a new beginning for us. And I pray for all of us here, especially if there's anyone here feeling lost this morning or feeling that they're far from Your path. Lord, I pray, reach out with Your love and touch that heart. Call them to Yourself by Your grace. And we pray it in Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.